Lleas Treherne. Towns of Lleas Treherne give sound to town, for history would have broken step, and there would be no reason for this rhyme. Why let this ruin irritate the strep in the throat? The farmhouse is a pile of old stone, that is all, centrally arranged. To sell it all, let's spit it out in style, a poisoned well and a caved-in roof deranged. At an angle to the pterodactyl, clawing at 10,000 years of pure land, to make a pipeline full of human bile, and dissolving the hourglass in its sand. Around the pines, around this ruin, flows the rage of time, the blood of people flows. The Assault on Carrickenan Castle, first published in the Salmon, 1982. Driven like slaves by trivial convention, which centuries old became a habit for bodies that were barely fed or clothed, in old moles that they feared and despised, in which elders perceived truth and light. A busload arrived of the unemployed to be shown around the state's alma mater. In the pointless, desolate wilderness, sufficient management of slaughter had created inside the castle walls, realpolitik of kill, steal, and keep, they forgot for the day their own drab lives. For years after that, all labouring dim, the castles still filled in with dawn and sun. The Morgan brothers find King Arthur about the mid-80s. To the north, a glacier roared and cut rock as the black shotman sliced coal with powder. The black mountain glistens with limestone, black Silurian mountain, crag and water embrace Arthurian in the paths of night. Llyn y Fan Fach, Our Lady of the Lake, veiled above Patty's castle, craig and os. Cut by the wind's hard teeth, the caves lie low, hid in time's grain that the ploughman had made. Here, Dan or Ogof, is the ossuary where ancient bones of certitude were carved. Two Morgan brothers in the coracle paddled across time to Arthur's far shore, and mighty were the idols of the cave. 1968, Prague Spring. Aladdin Factory, Ashwen, Swansea Valley, written about 1987. Beaten minutes, dancing light upon a dark machine club time. A giant hammer pounds the sun apart. A metallic burst of photons from the blinding welding torch. A violent child has risen to be man. The stink of trike is all at hand to wipe the greasy lives from pristine parts of life. Moulded in the press shop, in the heat of premature spring. These tanks are small. From them are built commodities that crush the crowd. In its place, light and time are fugitives, skeletal, ashen people that avert their eyes and ears. Now as the shallow tide of hope recedes, the morning shift begins. David Harvard, After a Coal Mining Accident of the Late 50s, written late 1991 at Ithaca, New York. We went to help Di Harvard clean his arm, a Modigliani in the gallery of black time, statuesque and abstracted against the unfamiliar light of day, stuck like a back pastiche, deep to the bone, a signature in iodine and blood with bits of crushed coal dust, all mixed with flesh, swaddled, a Bedouin in bandages. Di was quiet, a swath of life that the reaper had carelessly allowed to stand. Di was always quiet, almost never did he open his heart except to smile. That was years ago. The name Harvard need not be soiled now by a primitive's daub. Royston Rogers, a boyhood friend in Crycam Park, written late 1991 at Ithaca, New York. Cloud menaced, north iced Hudson pushed the tide past Yankee Stadium, where Tommy Farr still stands, between the burnt out Bronx and Yonkers, in jet lag time, whirlpools, blank concrete eyes. They'll boot you there, degrees and all, he'd say. Away from highways, furious cataracts, the seasick Hudson, then the cold rim pool, the eyes of stone, then sparking firefly crews. We hide in the stones, fish like we are quick or dead, he'd say. Joe Lewis could really bang. Those that go to chapel don't care for me, I see too far, far on a wind-blown day. As he wandered, echoing eerily, time's torrents smashed him so very casually. Upon seeing a photograph of a slate-tip at Festiniog, written at Ithaca, New York, 1998. If it were merely winter's black and white, shuttered, caught, netted, sketched, smelt in the dark, if bromide were really beehive cells, dwelling among these lashing grains of slate, reassuring, beguiling, it would be a trade-in of graining, silver for life, millennium of talk for a slate quarry, poor people for arrangements of stone. Where are they, the bright triskels? Gold bright as the first light on Festiniog, desiccated and made dry with all time, they are abstraction and camera charnel. It was not black and white, nor shades of grey. Their blood was red at the end of the day. On hearing the way down, I don't believe it, laughed O'Donovan. The rasa of the western world was cold. The gods had only just let him come down to gulp his supper full of beans and bold. Hall was worried. Earlier in Pindemon's blizzard, he had sensed nothing but sorrow, a local deity whitewashing us into dancing skeletons. So he knew. Someone had thrown the Hebrides away, someone had minimized the human sway. The Piper of Glencoe was there that day, and captivated the sun on throne. I heard no stream to guide me back to ground, but I saw that up there the gods abound.